From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, November 9th, 2017. And on this day, Maine's Secretary of State files suit against President Trump's Voter Fraud Commission. Big Six in big trouble, and a possible upside to migraine headaches. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at MaineGardens.org.
Maine Secretary of State Matt Dunlap has filed a lawsuit against the Republican-led Presidential Voter Fraud Commission, claiming that he and other members of the panel are being shut out of the process. Dunlap, who is a Democrat, says Republican leaders on the commission are excluding him from discussions aimed at shaping the group's agenda. A.J. Higgins has more.
Dunlap says he's heard nothing about the activities of the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity for nearly 2 months. After his repeated attempts to contact the commission's leadership, Dunlap says he decided to file a complaint in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. Dunlap says the Republican-led freeze-out is a clear violation of federal transparency laws.
I guess the real question is, for me, why I didn't do it sooner.
Dunlap's lawsuit is just the latest to target the commission, which made headlines when its vice chair and Kansas Secretary of State, Kris Kobach, requested that election officials in all 50 states submit sensitive personal voter information, including partial Social Security numbers. Civil rights groups have cried foul over Kobach's demands. Ezra Rosenberg, a spokesman for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, says his organization sued the commission in July, alleging violations of federal transparency laws.
We're asking the court to order the disclosure of the documents that the public has a right to see. And right now we have a motion that we filed asking the court to compel the commission to comply with its past orders and to give us more information as to the nature of these documents, because on this index that we got, they lumped together all of the documents into certain categories, and we want a document-by-document description.
To date, the commission has been sued 8 times, while it has only convened twice. Dunlap says he has asked commission leaders why some materials that were clearly being shared among some members were being withheld from others. He says he also asked when the next meeting would be.
I did get a response about 10 days later saying, we've gotten your letter. We're under a lot of litigation. We have to review this with counsel to see that we're following the law. And I'm not asking for the nuclear codes. I'm asking to find out when we're meeting again.
Calls to Kris Kobach's office were not returned. Kobach told the Associated Press that Dunlap's lawsuit was, quote, baseless and paranoid. In a prepared statement, Andrew Kosick, executive director of the commission, said Dunlap's lawsuit, quote, has no merit, and we look forward to refuting it in court. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
The state has lost its bid to buy a $1.2 million conservation easement to protect a remote plantation of sugar maples in Somerset County. The 23,600-acre project, known as Big Six, was competing with 24 other funding requests from the Land for Maine's Future program. But today, the LMF board scratched it from the list of finalists. Steve Missler has more.
Of the 24 projects scored by the board Thursday, Big Six scored dead last. The LMF board refused to give the project additional points previously awarded to only 4 other LMF projects. Without those extra points, Big Six fell to the bottom of the pack. J.T. Horn with the Trust for Public Land is a co-applicant for the Big Six easement, along with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry.
You know, the key to recognizing the maple sugar bush that's there was tied up in the point category of the single exceptional value, and we missed those points.
The push to approve the Big Six project has focused on the Timberlands maple syrup production, which is said to account for roughly 20% of the state's total output. But in May, an examination by Maine Public found that most of the syrup produced there is never sold in Maine, but to out-of-state wholesalers who turn around and market it as a product of the United States. Also, the maple syrup operation is done exclusively by Canadian producers, who have easy access to the property and in some instances have harvested sap there for generations. But subsidizing Canadian syrup production was a problem for several LMF board members. So was the fact that accessing Big Six typically requires two border crossings and using a network of logging roads in Maine's North Woods, all of them private and with no legal guarantee that the public can use them.
Keep in mind the size of the investment, $1,250,000, and we do not have legal access to that property.
LMF board member Fred Buckland questioned why taxpayers should buy an easement with no guarantee of public access.
I can imagine how this would play to the people looking at this from the outside. You paid $1,250,000 for a piece of property you can't even get to. It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
LMF Director Sarah Demers said such limited access could be precedent-setting for an LMF project. Supporters have said Big Six could be a model for future conservation deals that involve maple syrup production. But Big Six has also drawn attention for other reasons. It's the one project supported by Governor Paul LePage, who has called the LMF program, quote, corrupt. The landowner, Madison businessman Paul Fortin, has donated to the governor's election campaigns. He's also said he'll cut the sugar bush and sell it as timber if he doesn't get the easement. But critics have questioned why Fortin would cut the trees when he's making money leasing taps to the Canadian producers. William Jarvis is a forest manager from Jackman, who works with other landowners with maple syrup operations in the area. Jarvis says the trees, with all the holes from the taps, have little value except for maple syrup.
That's part of what I've got in my letter is the value of the wood is not that great. In 6 to 8 years, he's generating enough off the leases to cover all of the wood if he cut it down and sold it.
Fortin and the Trust for Public Lands successfully convinced the Forest Legacy Program to pay for the $3.5 million easement for the property. But that money was contingent on the $1.2 million from LMF. The LMF board announced the other projects that did qualify for funding. But the specific dollar amounts won't be disclosed until next week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
If you've ever experienced a migraine headache, you probably think of it as something very bad. But a University of Maine psychology professor has a new theory about migraines, that they actually may be the body's natural way of protecting and repairing itself from toxins in the brain. Keith Shortall has more.
Pain, nausea, extreme sensitivity to light and sound, sometimes even visual disturbances. Migraines can deliver an entire menu of nasty symptoms that can last for several days. But UMaine Adjunct Professor of Psychology Jonathan Borkum says each of these components may have a restorative purpose to relieve the brain from what Borkum calls oxidative stress.
So oxidation is a class of chemical reactions that is very common in the body and that serves certain useful functions. But when the oxidative reactions exceed the body's ability to control them, then they cause damage. And the body needs mechanisms for correcting that damage.
Borkum says many common migraine triggers, such as low blood sugar, dehydration, diesel fumes, artificial sweeteners, and carbon monoxide, can be damaging to the brain and are also known to cause oxidant stress. The body responds by creating antioxidants, which neutralize the harmful effects. He says it also delivers growth factors to the brain.
Growth factors prevent brain cells from self-destructing. They lead to the production of new brain cells, and they support the maintenance of the elaborate branching architecture of neurons. And when you look at a migraine attack, all of these processes are going on simultaneously, and they're all integrated together in feedback loops. So it looks like a migraine attack is an attempt by the brain to protect and repair itself.
Borkum's finding, just published in the journal Headache, may also point to a shift in the approach to medications used to prevent migraine.
And so it suggests that the next iteration of preventive medications will be things that either reduce oxidative stress or reduce that vulnerability to oxidative stress, or that deliver growth factors to the brain, essentially taking the job away from migraines.
Borkum says all this could have implications for reaching a better understanding of neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Keith Shortall.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, November 9th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.